Hi, this is Tobin Beck at Concordia University in Seward, and I'm here today with Dr. Pete Koprinz, who is a assistant professor of communication studies here at Concordia. So welcome, Dr. Koprinz.
Thanks for having me.
And you have done some fascinating research and put together a great presentation on what it is that people remember from things that are presented to them. So I would love to have you get into that and explain what your research and findings are all about.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I've taught public speaking for a long time, and when I was looking into what were the behaviors we could get students to improve in the most, when I started teaching, a lot of it I focused on nervousness, anxiety, the stuff that you immediately think of when you think of public speaking. But as time went by, I kept realizing that the messages being delivered in class by my students, I just felt something was wrong. And the more I researched it, the more I realized that it wasn't necessarily wrong. It was just the way that I was framing how they should be giving these presentations. And it boils down to the idea of memorability. All of us have been in a situation where some message has been delivered to us, whether it's a movie we've seen or an advertisement or a class you've been in. And if someone asked you, a week later, a day later, 20 minutes later, like, what do you remember? You'd have a hard time coming up with specifics. And that isn't accidental. Like, that happens for a reason. So when I was presenting, the major point of my presentation was this idea that what we know, from psychology, and this idea of something called the forgetting curve, is that approximately 90% of the information we deliver to other people will be lost, whether that's within hours, whether that's within days, weeks, but generally at least by 30 days at the bare minimum. If they are not making significant effort to retain that information, if they're not highly motivated or they're not taking notes in a class or, trying to memorize it for a test, they're going to forget about 90% of what we say. And as a teacher, I don't know about you, but that struck me as like, what am I doing in my classes when so much of what I'm telling students, is going to be gone out potentially hours later, minutes later?
Yeah, I do the same.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, it starts to mess with your head. But what you start to focus on then is ensuring that what you would have, what Carmen Simon calls a strong 10% message, the idea that, okay, we know that the majority of what we say will be forgotten, and that's okay. That 90% can still be used to, develop our thoughts as we're speaking. It can be used to emphasize points. And all of those specifics will not be remembered, especially verbatim, but that overarching message is what endures. If you think of your favorite movie of all time in your head right now, you probably don't have the entire script memorized. But there's key moments in that movie that stand out that you will never forget, that you could recite and that are timeless and that, likely have emotional impact or value to you. And it's the same kind of principle here.
So how do you get your students to put that into practice? I know we as teachers, ways that we can do that, and I'll come back to that here in a second, but for teaching students how to do effective presentations, what do you focus on?
Sure. So, yeah, and that's a really good point, because in a lot of the classes we're dealing with, let's say I'm teaching a public speaking class and I have, first semester freshmen, they simply haven't been through, like, I know what I was like when I was a first semester freshman. I was in no way prepared to deliver lengthy, complex presentations that could have retained audience interest. They simply haven't been prepared and equipped, and a lot of that has to do with their own experiences and just, time in life, all the worry and anxiety of standing out in front of others at that time. So what I try to do when I teach is first of all, have a relaxing environment in which they feel comfortable standing out and teaching them that it's good to stand out. When you're in a job interview later in life against 100 people, you want to stand out as opposed to, blending in. And then we focus on, for years in my public speaking classes, I would have students pick a topic they were going to speak on. You're going to speak on frogs or goats or some type of disease or a historical figure. And they would pick topics. And now what I ask them to do is to create messages. So it's a topic with a purpose attached to it. This gets their mind, you know, going down that path of having a clear message, a point, a reason that I'm speaking to you today. Because one of the reasons that, and I, for years teaching public speaking, I couldn't put my finger on this, but what frustrated me about the process is it felt artificial. Like very, very rarely in life are you asked to please stand up and give a presentation about goats today. Just factual topic where there's no distinct, clear purpose for what you're doing. You're asked to give a presentation to your colleagues for a certain reason, for a certain purpose. And the messages that stand out are the ones that have a message that resonates with the audience. So, you know, not every message is a memorable message. Audiences are going to remember messages that have an emotional impact, that they find relates clearly to their own goals or motivations. Messages are going to be memorable when something about that message is distinct and stands out from what's around it. And, you know, there's other factors as well. But a lot of it is starting them at that process of, okay, it's not enough to have a topic, have a specific message that's important, that's meant to resonate with your audience. What is that? And how can we now frame the entire presentation around that?
That sounds fascinating. How do you incorporate that into your own teaching?
That's a good question. Again, I've said, like, after I gave this presentation, I've had multiple colleagues come up to me now and comment on how it's gotten them to kind of think about their own teaching. And I think as instructors, that's the first thing we do, because all of, like, everybody here, oh, go ahead.
We're doing presentations all the time.
That's what we do, right? And the idea that people are not remembering what we say, like, I don't know about you, but we teach what we're passionate about, right? We teach the stuff
That's
we
true.
Teach,
yes.
We care about so much. And oftentimes, you know, this is like the difference between teaching a class of freshmen in an area they're required to take and like upper level students, you know, there's that passion in the upper level class and it makes it easier, right?
Because the types of courses that you and I teach, mm-hmm. we're passionate about getting students to think.
Absolutely.
Not just topics and material and mm-hmm. and facts and how to think about facts and so on, but we try to teach the skills of thinking.
It's practical, it's applied. It's never going to be, our classes are not ever going to be just, we're lecturing, now regurgitate the information on a quiz. You know, it goes beyond that. It's putting it into practice. But it has gotten me to you know, refocus on how I teach. And what I like about the, you know, the thought processes behind it is that whether you're a teacher, whether you're presenting to colleagues at a business, whether it's to one person or to many people, the underlying values stay the same. If you have a key message that resonates, people will remember it. If you have a clear 10% message, if it's not clear what that 10% message is, what, you know, the research tends to find is that people will either forget it, which obviously is not an ideal goal or an outcome, or they will come up with their own 10% message from the presentation, which might have been nothing you intended whatsoever. So what they remember from the presentation is not what you intended in the first place.
So in terms of practical application for people who are listening, what would you tell them about how to construct that 10% effective mm-hmm. message?
So think about going in, okay, at the end of my presentation, whatever it's going to be about, what do I want to have, you know, stuck with my audience? The messages that resonate the most then are going to be ones that have value to that audience, right? So if I'm getting up and giving you a presentation on my summer trip to Peru, there's a good chance that doesn't mean anything to you. You don't really care about my vacation. Maybe you have never been to Peru and you don't plan on going there. The only way that would resonate is if you have it, maybe you say, hey, I went to Peru, now I'm going to mash it up with my own life experiences. Or if you're interested in going there, that would have value,
or
because
some really interesting or unusual experience.
Absolutely. Something that would take it beyond, like, that one step removed. So it's not just a person talking about something that's very removed from the audience. If you have a message that you believe the audience will find value in, then now that simplifies the process extensively, because you can simplify what you do on the boundaries if that major message is valuable and important, because that's what people are going to remember anyways. So gone are the times where you need to, let's say, bombard people with fact after fact after fact and information when that's not how our minds process anyways, when instead we can give them something more simple and tangible that they can then, you know, that channels their own thoughts and they think about how it applies to their own lives. And now their minds are doing the work for us because they're processing that information actively as opposed to passively.
And we tend to process things as kind of a narrative of taking a central theme and constructing a framework for understanding that theme.
We are storytelling creatures, right? When you put other people in the position that they can be a storyteller, they're more likely to spread your message to someone else. Because if your key message resonates and is easy to pass on, they're more likely to pass that on to other people. When they cannot identify what the key message was, that's not going to happen. So there should be no fuzziness, no haziness within your audience at the end of your presentation on what it was that you wanted them to understand.
Okay. That's fascinating.
Thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You grew up in North Dakota.
Yeah.
You also went to school in North Carolina.
I did, yeah. So I'm from Grand Forks, North Dakota. My parents both taught at the University of North Dakota. I was born there, went to high school there, et cetera. When I graduated, I was 18 years old and wanted to get the heck out of North Dakota and just go somewhere very different. So I was applying to all sorts of schools in kind of the Southeast, University of Virginia and places like that. But I ended up going to Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I moved back to Grand Forks to go to grad school after that. I actually started dating my wife as a senior in high school, and we stayed dating despite me like being gone 4 years, and she was in North Dakota and I was in North Carolina, which is really crazy when you think about it. Like, everyone we knew broke up for a semester freshman year with anyone that they had been dating. Got married when I was 22. I have 3 kids now, 7, 4, and 2, and then we have a fourth on the way in March.
And
so
what's your wife's name?
Nicole. She stays at home with our kids. She has a background in elementary education, but you know, we love the Seward community and being in Nebraska, and we love it here.
Well, I could sure understand that because yeah, that's how Ellen and I feel as well,
mm-hmm.
and love being here. Well, this has been wonderful talking with you, and that's a fascinating subject and how to get people to remember your main point of a presentation. It's certainly valuable advice for teachers and for anyone who wants to have a memorable presentation. So, Dr. Pete Koprinz, thanks for being here today. I'm Tobin Beck from Concordia University. Thanks for listening.